Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating on the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I'm talking to Jake Highmark, the CEO of Plus Products, which trades under the symbol PLUS on the Canadian Securities Exchange. Plus creates cannabis food products. Now, every food company has a day of reckoning when they find out if the product is moving off the shelves. We've seen many innovative food companies fail that day of reckoning. Spoiler alert! Plus Products is already the number one cannabis-infused edible brand in California, the world's largest cannabis market. Plus had 2018 revenues of $8.4 million, a 680% growth over 2017. If there is such a thing as a de-risked cannabis company, Plus is it. Today we're going to find out what Jake Highmark did, how he did it, and what he's going to do next. Jake Highmark, welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look.
Thank you for having me today.
Jake, can you start by giving us a bird's eye view of your company, your vision, your ambitions, your goals?
Absolutely. Plus is an edibles manufacturer in California, and our mission is to make cannabis safe and approachable. I think especially in the edibles category, when you look at what products are available to people,
yes,
it's very easy to be scared, right? Because everybody has that story of they've heard about somebody's cousin or friend who had an edible and it affected them too much. But then there's this other piece of edibles which are really attractive, which is we've had very successful public health campaigns encouraging us to not smoke and to choose something that's better for our bodies. So at Plus, we marry a Michelin star chef, who's my co-founder, with the Harvard chemist who works in every batch to make sure it's right, along with the more than 40 years of food manufacturing expertise at our management level to deliver what we call your own just right every time in our edibles.
Yeah, dosage. I know dosage is very important to your product and your philosophy, and I want to get into that a bit later. Before we do that, I want to find out a bit about you. I know you went to Menlo School in Atherton, California. I learned that Mr. Atherton bought 800 acres of Silicon Valley for $10 an acre, which seemed like a pretty good investment. And I know you went to Brown University, but beyond that, I don't know much about me. Can you tell me a bit about your background and how you came to be CEO of a big cannabis company?
Sure. So I actually was born in Chicago and then grew up internationally. I grew up in Switzerland and London and then ended up in California for high school because my parents were bankers. My father was the chief information officer for UBS, and my brother actually went into the family business. He works in banking. He's at Goldman Sachs out in London. So at least some of us were smart enough to stay over in that side of the world.
Yeah.
After school, went into the industry that I had gone to high school around, which was technology. So I left university where I had studied economics and biology at Brown University, and then moved, told my parents I'd never be back in California because I miss London too much, and then went to work at Facebook, of course, about 3 minutes from my parents' house. Some things are out of your control. And Facebook was a great company at the time that I was there, which was before they went public. It was very interesting. I worked specifically on the payment side. I think because my family had come from banking and I understood a bit about those regulations. At Facebook, I was really became a product manager for making sure that all the credit card transactions and you're doing advertising worked.
Yeah.
And then I left Facebook for a Kleiner Perkins Pact payment company called Gumroad, which actually has nothing to do with gum or roads. It's an e-commerce marketplace.
Yeah.
And I then entered the cannabis industry because both companies had really been working in payments and finance on a payments and auditing place. So in cannabis, it is legal at certain states levels in the US, but it's still illegal at the federal level.
Right.
And that means that, you know, banking is very difficult. It's a largely cash business. So I moved to Colorado, which is the first place that went recreational about 4.5 years ago. I found a local bank that was willing to let me run an auditing program for them. and create one and actually help to, you know, define what I saw as a future huge potential opportunity in this cannabis industry. And I think it still is. And while creating the auditing program for them, I had to do some due diligence and I visited a lot of dispensaries. And I noticed that in the few months after recreational legalization, dispensaries were already talking about how their product mix of what they were selling was shifting.
Yeah.
They used to sell flower and vapes before recreational cannabis. And now people were coming in and asking for things that didn't really have to do with smoking. They were turning toward edibles. Whereas before, edibles had been about 2% of the market. Now they were about 15%. And that meant that on the supply side, people really didn't know how to make food or hadn't been focused on it before.
Interesting.
My father's brother, so my uncle, was the chief executive officer of a non-cannabis, a food manufacturing plant in Austin, Minnesota that made contract manufacturing products. And they made frozen California pizza, kitchen pizzas, and Stouffer's mac and cheese, and all the stuff in the U.S. that makes you large and healthy, I'll put it that way. And I called my uncle who had recently retired and moved to Fort Collins, which is just outside Denver, Colorado, and said, hey, can you come get lunch with me? I want to take you around a couple of these things. I said, does the food here look to you like it's made out of by people who know what they're doing with food? He said, no, this looks like something made in the kitchen. These people probably never heard of a food factory, because there's a big difference between making something, you know, out of a kitchen where you're focused on, you know, making a few units, to making something out of a factory where you have to do the exact same thing every day at giant scale.
Yes.
And so I said, okay, here's a huge opportunity, but I have zero background in food. I am not a very good cook. But I was driving from California to Colorado, where I was living on my friend's couch in Colorado. And in order to do, it's about a 15-hour drive, I was buying these caffeine gums to actually keep me awake while I was driving. And I mentioned to someone at a cannabis event that, hey, somebody should really make a cannabis infused gum. And the guy next to me said, oh, well, the hard thing there is to get the hydrocolloids in gum to bind to the cannabinoids, but I think I have a way to do it. I said, okay, who are you? And what do these words mean? And that is my co-founder, a guy named Justin Gwynn. And so we started the company together. Our first product was a cannabis gum and moved it to California.
So that is really interesting. You've got, as it were, banking DNA, manufacturing DNA, food processing DNA, and your partner is basically comes from a culinary background.
Absolutely. He's what I would call the mad genius behind what makes our products work really well, because you have to pair the science behind cannabis with the art behind food and make sure you do both then at big scale. So you kind of need all these things to fire on the same cylinders.
So I know you started the business in your parents' garage because that was the only space you could afford. What did the first 30 days in that garage look like? What were you doing? Well, you know, I'll cut ahead a little bit, get to this. I'm very curious how you ended up with gummy bears.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And the answer is it takes a long time to make food products. So probably the first 90 days, we're just trying to make gum.
Yeah.
And what we learned not soon enough, but eventually at Plus, which we now believe is part of our DNA, is that you can design the best product in a back room, or in this case, a garage, that you think has all the attributes that customers want. But if you don't put it on a shelf and see if people actually buy it, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, customers tell you whether they like it or whether they buy it, and most importantly, whether they come back and get it again. And I still think the gum is this great product. It has fast acting, it's low calorie, has all these great attributes. And don't get me wrong, we'll introduce it again as the market matures. But the gum, when we put it on shelves, didn't move very quickly. And so we went to talk out to customers and we found that something fundamental was happening in the marketplace.
Do you know why? I mean, I just think people don't look attractive when they chew gum. I don't know if that was part of it.
It's interesting. It's a good thought. What we actually found was that people are already scared of edibles.
Yeah.
And the last thing that somebody wants when they're already scared of something is something new.
Yeah.
And if you walk through a Whole Foods or really any grocery store now, if you go to that section where they sell infused vitamins, there already is the idea of gummies that contain other compounds, whether it's melatonin or vitamin D or, you know, what have you. And so there's something natural about that that customers were familiar with that yeah. said, okay, people are attracted to this category already. And then we looked at the gummies that were out there, and the top ones in California at the time had names like Cushy Punch. And we said, okay, we can probably do something that speaks to the new customers who are coming in, uses great ingredients, you know, marries the flavors to the cannabis compounds that are going on inside of it. And we created the gummy product. And then the moment we put it on shelves, we couldn't make enough of it.
Were you concerned at all about, well, as you're probably aware, since rec cannabis has gone legal in California, there've been an increase in incidences of cannabis poisoning amongst children. I mean, the numbers are still very, very low, but they're there. The media could catch hold of them. Were you concerned about gummy bears being associated with children, with something a child might be attracted to?
We're very concerned at PLUS about the effect of cannabis on young people.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we chose the way in which we manufacture our products, where they come in what I'll call adult-shaped gummies. So they're all very geometric cubes, and they come in a tin that is actually a child-safe tin that we had to go to Europe to find a manufacturer who would actually work in a unique child-safe mechanism for us to actually be able to put our gummies inside of. We think that there's not enough research yet in cannabis in general, but what there is coming out of Israel and Canada makes it quite clear that while people's brains are developing, especially under the age of 18,
yeah,
it is really important that people not consume cannabis because it may affect their brain development. And so we work with, you know, at the product level, we've introduced these tins ahead of, they're not even required in California until January.
Tell me about these. I've read about them, but please tell our listeners about these tins.
Yeah, so these tins sort of work like a, if you're familiar with child safe locking mechanisms on pill bottles, where you yeah. have to push down top and then twist. We were able to build that into a tin. And I think it's really important to, you know, it's great to have products in our packaging, and we're very proud of the way that it looks. It looks great. But even more important is to make it safe. And we always start from there. And they're required in California starting in January, but we actually, January of next year, we actually introduced them in January of this year because it's so important for us, where our mission is to make cannabis safe and approachable, to actually be ahead of the curve here.
My understanding is that you are doing some behind the scenes work with trying to get out ahead of this problem of the downside of cannabis.
Absolutely. There is a lot that is still unknown about cannabis. But I will say this, which I learned from my grandfather, who was a doctor. There's not anything in the world, including water, that consuming excess amounts of is good. Everything really needs to be done in balance, right?
Yes.
And in moderation. And so I think that some companies who aren't thoughtful about that in the long runs are putting themselves in danger, because this is a new compound. We know that it has a lot of very powerful, and anecdotally, it looks like some great positive effects, but it needs to be consumed with care and thought as well. And we think that the strongest brands are going to be those who actually speak openly and honestly about this.
Agreed.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
Jay, can you describe your manufacturing facility in Adelanto? How many people work there? What would it look like if I walked in terms of scientists, assembly line people? I'm just trying to picture it.
So our factory in Adelanto, California, which is about 2 hours northeast of Los Angeles,
yeah.
in this strip of desert between Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's amazing town.
It is.
It's one of the few in California that was first to allow and encourage people to come in and build cannabis businesses. We're proud to be
yeah.
members of the Adelanto Cannabis Association, helping to forward the industry there. We have about 60 people working in our factory there, depending on the time of day. And I think the first thing you notice is just how happy everybody is, because it is an area that hadn't had a lot of economic activity. And to be honest, there aren't really great manufacturing jobs anymore in the United States.
Yeah.
And this is an area that this is one of the few industries that's actually creating them, which I think is not something that we talk about enough in Canada. So we're actually helping to create a class of jobs that disappeared from this country. But it's a mixture of, we have a Harvard chemist who runs two high pressure liquid chromatography, which are big science machines that test every batch about six times. There are quite a lot of areas in the factory that are separated by what I'll call access control. So you have to use badges to be able to get in certain places, especially where there's cannabis. It's really important for safety and security that people have access to certain places. But at the end of the day, it looks exactly like a food and candy and confectionery manufacturing company, because that's what we do.
Right.
It smells like this sugary, sweet deliciousness that, you know, is sort of like sugar baking in an oven, which is amazing and one of my favorite smells. And depending on whether we're making the strawberry or the blueberry or the blackberry flavor that day, you'll get these really strong fruit smells that sort of start before you even enter the factory. And then once you're inside, it looks a little bit like that scene in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where there's so many people unwrapping candy bars. There's so much activity and so much bustle around what we do at Plus, because we've had to grow so quickly that we've actually outstripped some of the capacity of our machinery and had to use people to fill in as we continue to build up the machinery to catch up.
I see. Do you anticipate having to expand the square footage of your manufacturing facility?
In December, we actually acquired a company called The Good Co-op that is a baked good company in Sacramento that came with some square footage as well, about 10,000 square feet in Sacramento, California. I'd expect us to open a third facility in Northern California sometime later this year. So we're well stocked for our capacity this year. As we look forward to next year and beyond, we see continued need for expansion just to fill the California market alone.
Interesting. You make a very interesting point about these manufacturing jobs that I hadn't thought about, that there's sort of a firewall around them. Like, even if it was logistically possible, you can't legally set up your factory in China or Vietnam. I mean,
absolutely right. This is the only industry in the world so far that you're going to have to manufacture something in New Jersey and manufacture something in New York. And food, you're going to have to make it taste the exact same in both spots and work the exact same. That is a really difficult problem.
Yes. Yes. Can you tell me, Jake, about some of your best-selling products in California?
Sure. So the number one selling product across all cannabis products, that's vapes, tinctures, flower, and edibles, is our Uplift sour watermelon product. It has a cannabis profile. And when we say cannabis profile, what we mean is a combination of all the cannabinoids. So that's THC and CBD, but also things called terpenes, which are smelly molecules.
And yeah.
THCA and THCV and all these other molecules are along for the ride, as it has a really well-designed profile for giving the effect of, you know, what we call uplift, which is going on hikes and being out with your friends and going to concerts. And then the second best-selling product in California is actually our blackberry and lemon product, which is, we call Restore. So it's really for the end of the day, helps you unwind, sort of relax your muscles. I'd say we describe that product best as unwind without getting unwound. And then our third product, which is one of the top 10 in the state, is our Create product, which really activates your mental energies. It's more of a head effect than the other two. And that's a sour blueberry flavored product as well. And so we find that those three are a great combination. And then we just recently launched mints as well, which we're really excited about in each of those three moods as well.
Tell me about the importance of dosing.
Dosing is the number one problem I think all edible companies have had to struggle with over the last few years.
Yeah.
There's nothing more uncomfortable than being dosed or overly dosed when you don't want it.
Yeah.
It's also something that's unique to each individual. I'd say somewhat like alcohol, people know how it affects them, and it takes time to learn what that effect is on you. And at Plus, I don't think we believe there's a single dose that's right for everybody, which is why we talk to most people about finding your own just right. If you have a consistent product that you put in the marketplace, people find out what works for them. One of the hardest things in cannabis is to make sure that you get every dose into the unit of food that you're making the exact same, because if you don't do that, people will have it one time and have one effect, and have it a different time and they won't feel anything at all, and that doesn't work. Most food manufacturing historically has not really focused on having to deliver micro amounts of some compound across the food chain, because if you mix your mixer too long or let it boil too long at a high temperature, you can actually dramatically affect the dosing. And there are a lot of small things you have to get right along the way in order to get it right in the end product that are really important to the customer.
And what is microdosing, and how are you guys participating in that trend?
So we've always focused on lower doses for people.
Yeah.
There's a new trend of people, rather than trying to get, I'll say, as messed up as possible, there are a bunch of people who are focused on trying to take maybe the edge off the day or just sleep a little bit better at night. And they're finding that small amounts of cannabis over longer periods of time are something that they're, you know, is working well for them. And so we have our gummy product, which is one of the first to be only 5 milligrams per unit, which we launched about a year and a half ago. And we recently launched mints, which are even half that dose.
Yeah.
So they're 2.5 milligrams per mint, which is a much smaller amount. And I think there's room to go even smaller and let people find their own just right by dialing it in to find what works for them.
Jake, what is the demographic of your, what are the demographics of your users?
Great question. And from the research that we've been able to do, and one of the benefits of being one of the larger companies in California that we're able to speak to a large number of users, is that we're finding it's everywhere from millennials and young people who are, you know, ages of 25 and taking the edge off their workday, to soccer moms in their 30s, to people over the age of 65 who are re-entering cannabis after a long time of not using it. All of the above are using Plus products, but we found the one group where we do particularly well is what we call acceptors. Those are people who have used cannabis sometime in the past, maybe not used it in a long time, or are coming back to the industry and really looking for something that, say, enhances your life, sort of affects you but doesn't overwhelm you and helps bring your life back into balance. And that's the people who we've really found are the people who love Plus the most.
Interesting. If cannabis became federally legal in the States, how would that affect your expansion strategy?
Today, companies like Plus are actually protected, interestingly, by the federal illegality.
Yeah.
Because if it were federally legal today, I think the largest cannabis food companies and beverage companies and vape and smoking and tincture companies would be the largest in the other industries, right? And I think we're starting to see some of that with the CBD craze.
Yeah.
What we have at Plus is a unique knowledge of how to dial a specific cannabinoid profile, how to use specific machinery to get that profile into the product at the end of the day in a way that food companies will figure out. And my uncle used to run a food company that focused on bringing new things to market, but that takes at fastest, no matter how much money you spend, about 6 months. And so what we have is a little bit of a head start.
Yeah.
That I think we would leverage, depending on the time, and into launching nationally or partnering with somebody to do so. I think that the market today is difficult to launch your brand in multiple places because you have to manufacture separately in each place.
Yeah.
But where there's difficulty, that's opportunity for small businesses. And that's why at Plus, we're fortunate to be in a strong cash position with great partners to be able to expand nationally and internationally.
Yeah. I touched on it in my intro, but can you review your sales numbers and your projections for 2019 if you're able to, whatever you're legally able to do?
Sure. So, in 2018, we did $8.4 million in revenue.
Yeah.
And I think what's really important there is that over the year, we actually grew from being one of the top 12 companies to being the largest brand in California in edibles. And in the fourth quarter alone, we did more than $3 million, and that's all US. I think that as we look at this year and beyond, first of all, we're filing in a week, so I won't speak to Q1 yet. But I think what's really important to know is that the major levers for companies like Plus, when you're doing extremely well in California, are twofold. One is geographic diversity and expansion. And that goes not only into new THC markets, but also CBD markets as well. And also regulations. In California, more than three quarters of the market is still illegal, according to most estimates, which means that that's a quadrupling of revenue that happens if they move people from the illegal market to the legal market. So a lot of these numbers are going to grow a lot for all the cannabis companies over the next few years, especially in California, where there's such a large illegal market and it's moving to the legal market. And as for specific projections, we've never given them at Plus because we're strong believers in demonstrating with our performance our growth. That's where we sort of always focused.
Yeah. I'm sort of in awe of this company because I have been involved in other food companies that, honestly, I remember one, I would have cut him a check for $100,000. I thought the thing was going to the moon. They got it into my local Whole Foods, which Amazon now owns, but it just didn't move off the shelf. People didn't want it. So it's not easy.
It's really hard to know what people want. And at Plus, we focus on getting things to market early and often. We actually do limited editions every quarter and seasonals that sort of celebrate different things to test out new formulations to see what works. Company who is a former president and chief marketing officer of Pop Chips, which is one of the largest independently owned snack food companies in the world. So we're really excited for everything that he brings to the table.
Tell me about these. Give me an example of a seasonal product and tell me what the business strategy is there launching a product that presumably has a shorter season, as it were.
Great question. So in Q3 of 2018, so about September last year ago, for the fall season, we launched our blueberry product, a Create product, because we thought it might be a product that people got excited enough to stick around. And sure enough, it sold well enough and there was enough repeat purchase, because what's really important to us at Plus is not actually the first or even the second purchase, but the third purchase.
Yeah.
I believe on the third purchase of the exact same unit, not the same brand, but the exact same stock keeping unit, meaning the same flavor in the same mood, that's when you actually own a piece of somebody's shelf. When they have a spot at home where that thing goes, that's when you've actually captured them. And it doesn't happen for a while. And three's early still to try and own that spot, three purchases in a row. But when you do have that, we know that we've been successful. And Blueberry had one of the highest repeat purchase rates of all of our seasonals. And so we brought it out as a standalone product line full time. And it's one of the top sellers. So I think it's, you know, really important to tune these things. Some of them are just for, you know, just stand around for fun, like the rainbow one we'll probably bring out every year. And other ones, like we just tried a pink lemonade this spring, depending on how the results come back, maybe it's something that we will add to the portfolio full time.
I see. So it's partly the seasonal products are partly beta testing for possible wider rollout.
Exactly. And it's so early in the cannabis industry, you really need to be open to the idea that you may be wrong. And so we try different things constantly and let the customers tell us what they like, because I think 5 or 10 years from now, cannabis products will look wildly different than anyone thinks they do today, or the way that they look today. And it's really important to walk with customers and not, you know, get lost in what's going on today, but where they also want to go in the future as well.
Yeah. Jake, one final question. What are your milestones for the next 12 months?
I think the most important thing for any company like PLUS, and what we're really focused on, is getting our products into as many hands as we can across the world. We're really proud of what we make, and we are really proud to become one of the larger players in California. But this is a worldwide phenomenon. And if you're not focused on making sure that everybody has access to safe and well-dosed and really consistent, high-quality cannabis that can help them unlock the power of nature to bring balance in your lives, then you're not doing a great job. So the big milestones for us will be geographic expansion across the world of the products that are successful in California, and then also expansion of our product portfolio within California. We just launched mints. I'd expect a couple more before the end of this year in big product lines that customers can get excited about. And if they take off in California, we'll be bringing them worldwide as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Jake.
Thanks for spending the time.
I really appreciate it. I'd like to talk to you again in a couple of months.
Sure. That sounds great.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
I will. Bye. Bye-bye.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.